Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9, starting at verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Oh, I need your grace. I need your strength. We need your strength to be able to understand and apply this word. And so we pray you would teach us by your word and spirit, and that we would walk by faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Help me preach in demonstration of the spirit and of power. And may everyone here be built up by your truth. Help us be wise, godly men and women, boys and girls. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have been introduced to who has been called in personification, Lady Wisdom. And so most of chapter 8 was either talking about Lady Wisdom or Lady Wisdom speaking herself. And we saw from that text that Lady Wisdom is the triune God's wisdom personified. It's Christ's wisdom personified. And so God the Father, Son, and Spirit, their wisdom is personified in Lady Wisdom as the one we must know. There's only one woman that we must know, and that's Lady Wisdom. We will get through life if we don't have an intimate relationship with other women in different ways. Obviously, we do need to have a relation with our mom to be in the world, but you know what I mean. We need to have Lady Wisdom. We need to have Lady Wisdom so that we can live life for God's glory. And so Lady Wisdom is the one we must know, we must heed, we must follow. And so Lady Wisdom is continually described in Proverbs chapter 9. And she is one who is building her house. She is building her house. And we see what's described by her, how she builds her house, and what she's calling for those who would give heed to what she has to say. And so the main point of this sermon is the call of wisdom to forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. The first point, the call of wisdom. My second point, forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. And so the first point again, the call of wisdom. Verse 1, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Wisdom, again, Lady Wisdom is being described as building her house. She's described as making things ready. She's hewn out, set her seven pillars. You think this is probably a very large house. It has seven pillars. And she's made it. She's getting things ready so that when she calls people in, everything will be ready for those who will give attention to what she has to say. She's building her house. She's preparing. She slaughtered her meat. She's making a great feast. She slaughtered her meat. She's making everything ready for those who will come in. She's building her house, hewing out her pillars, slaughtering her meat. She's mixing her wine. There's going to be good food and good wine at this feast. She's going to call people in to partake of her delicacies. So she's slaughtering her meat. She's mixing her wine. She's furnishing her table. She's getting her table ready for those who would come in and they would be provided for. It's similar in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus sends out, or the parable, they send out the servants to call them to come to the banquet feast. And what do they tell them? Everything's been prepared. It's all ready for you. It's been prepared. And some of the people say, well, I just got married. I can't come. Or I bought this land. Or they give excuses why they can't come. And then they come back and there's still room. He's angry that the people made excuses why they couldn't come to this great feast. But then he says, go to the highways and byways and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And we see Lady Wisdom, which is similar reality. She's getting everything ready so that when they go to the highways and byways and preach from the open air and call people to come in, they can tell them everything's prepared. Everything is ready. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is come. Everything has been prepared for you. The meat's been slaughtered. The wine's been mixed. The table's been furnished. The pillars have been hewn out. The house is ready so that whoever she calls to come in, they will have everything they need. They don't have to bring anything. They don't have to prepare anything. They don't have to do anything. Lady Wisdom has it all taken care of. So that when you come in, all you have to do is bring yourself. All you have to do is bring yourself. She makes it as easy as possible in that sense. No one should have any excuse, because she says we can have an excuse if we get invited somewhere. We might say, you know what, but we can't make something. We don't have time to make something, so we probably can't go to that. Lady Wisdom doesn't allow us to have that excuse. She said, I'll make everything. You don't have to bring anything except yourself. As long as you come, you're good. You don't need to bring anything to drink, anything to eat. Just bring yourself, and it'll be all ready for you. She's building her house. She's slaughtering her meat. She's mixing her wine. She's furnishing her table. Everything is ready for those who will hear her wisdom. One encouragement is for us to know that when Lady Wisdom is calling out, which is Christ's wisdom, there's nothing we have to do to prepare ourselves for it. There's nothing that we have to get ready for and say, you know what, I have to get to this level, then I can come to Lady Wisdom's banquet. I have to get this prepared and then I can come. I have to get this ready and then I can come in. I need this acquaintance with this and then I can come in. No, she has everything prepared. We don't have to prepare a single thing. There is no preparation that we have to have. Sadly, there's been views in the church, particularly amongst what are called historically hyper-Calvinists, that you would need some type of preparation. You would have to know some way that you are regenerate, or some way to know that you are truly of God's elect. And that would be the preparation. You need to have some type of knowledge of those things, and then you can come. We know from Scripture that those things are not requirements. The only thing you need to come is a desire for Christ. There's nothing you have to do to prepare yourself, to make yourself worthy to come. And it's the same with Lady Wisdom, which is Christ's wisdom. There's nothing we have to do to prepare. We don't have to say, I have to get to this level of spirituality or this level of maturity before I can come and hear what Lady Wisdom has for me. None of that. And sometimes we can believe that. We can sometimes believe, I need to get to this level of something, and then I can actually hear God's wisdom. I have to come to this place because right now, the way I'm feeling, the way I feel the shame of my sin or the guilt or the weight of my remaining sin, I can't come right now because I'm not prepared. Because I'm not prepared. And that's what we can deceive ourselves in thinking, that I have to get somewhere to come in. I have to be prepared enough. I have to be ready enough. No, none of those things are needed. We come as those who know we need wisdom, and no, we haven't made it exactly where we are, where we want to be. Everything is prepared by Lady Wisdom. Everything is prepared by Lady Wisdom. There's nothing we have to do. All the meat we need, all the wine we need, and everything we need on the table is already set up by her. It's set up by her. And then it says in verse 3, she has sent out her maidens, which is again even more similar to the parable in Luke, where the master of the banquet sends out his servants to compel people to come in. Lady Wisdom sends out her maidens as she is calling people. She also will cry out. But she sends out her maidens. She's got everything ready. She's sending out her maidens. And then verse 3, the second part of it. She cries out from the highest places of the city. She cries out from the highest places of the city. The Lady Wisdom gets where everybody can see her because she's not ashamed of what she has to tell people. She is confident in what she has to say. I'll just say this again just in passing. This is not promoting women preaching here. It's personification. But it's describing Lady Wisdom crying out because she's unashamed. We saw that when we saw the woman Folly being described, the adulterous woman. When was that happening? At night, in secret. Because she was in some sense ashamed of that. And he was some sense ashamed. So they didn't want to be seen in the light. They weren't publicly exposed. They were in the secret. Lady Wisdom's not like that. Lady Wisdom wants everybody to know what she's doing. She wants everybody to know what she has to say. She's not ashamed of what she's doing. And so she gets to the highest places of the city, the place where everybody can see her in her town, in her city, and cries out. This is one of the beautiful things about open air preaching. Is when you open air preach, you stand up and say, I'm not ashamed of what I have to say. And so I'm going to go out to where everybody can see me. Not because I want them to see me merely, but I want them to hear what I have to say. And so we stand up and we cry out. And some of the best times, the most joyful times, is standing up in Ocean City or other places, standing up and crying out where everybody sees me. I'm up on a bench or on a stool or on something and crying out and preaching the gospel. Not because I want people to heed what I have to say, because I'm saying it, but I want them to heed the word of God. Because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And therefore, we want everybody to know. We stand up and say, I want people to look and hear because I'm not ashamed of this. And if people get mad with me, I have nothing to be ashamed about. That's why I can cry out boldly and not care. Because I know if when people hear me, I'm not concerned about what they think of me. I'm not concerned about what they think of me. And that's what Lady Wisdom is exactly like. She's not concerned about what people think about what she's wearing or acting or how she's doing it. She just wants people to hear her message. And she wants to get to the highest places of the city so that people can hear and heed what she has to say. Hear and heed what she has to say. Because she knows what she's going to tell people is life and death, heaven and hell. That's how serious it is. It's life and death, heaven and hell. And therefore she wants everyone to hear her. She wants everyone to hear her. And so she gets to the place where she can be seen. Sometimes we think in the Christian life, and this is true in a certain extent, but not true in other extent. Some people think we should be humble and not wanting to be seen. Just kind of be discreet. And that's true in a certain extent. Yes, we want to not be prideful and discreet and all those things. But the Bible also says to let your light so shine. In private? No. Before men. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Or in 1 Peter, it talks about doing good works in front of the Gentiles. That even if they blaspheme the name of God, they might be, on the day of God's visitation, they might know the truth. Which actually might be a reference to conversion. That when you do your good works, not that our good works save people, only the gospel of Christ does, but the gospel of Christ shown forth in its reality by good works of believers is a powerful testimony. And therefore, like Lady Wisdom, we should be those who want to let our light so shine before men. And we don't want to fall in the trap of thinking, if anybody is looking at me or thinking what I'm doing or saying, why are they doing that? Or I'm doing something that might be different, then somehow I'm doing something wrong because I'm not being discreet, quote unquote. That's not necessarily true. Some things God does want us to be very public and clear about and unashamed about and say, I'm doing this not to make much of self, but because I want you to glorify my Father in heaven. Because I want you to glorify the God who made us and redeemed us in Christ. Whatever that might be, we should do it. If it's for God and for his glory, we should do it to stand out. And it's not wrong to stand out. It's actually good if it's for godly purposes. It's good to let your light so shine before men. Because I've thought about that, where we're doing things, or other people are doing things that look different from other people. I'm kind of standing out a little bit. I'm not being as discreet. Is that okay? And texts like that have helped me to say it's okay to stand out. It's okay to look different because my light is to shine before men. If they ask me, I'll tell them why I'm doing it. Because we want to be different for Christ. We want to be unashamed of what we believe and what we practice. We should be ashamed of sin, and when we do things we shouldn't do, we should be ashamed of that and repent and confess and find forgiveness in Christ. But when we're doing things for godliness and presenting the gospel, or men are preaching the gospel, there should be no shame there. That's one of the things I love when I would stand on the sidewalk right by the Planned Parenthood preaching to the gates of hell. Preaching there and talking to women and trying to hand out stuff, and people would ride by. And I'm sure there's people who recognize me from different things, but I had no reason to be ashamed. So I didn't care. I didn't care if they saw me. I was proud to be identified with protesting against abortion and standing up preaching the gospel. That's a wonderful feeling when you can be somewhere and you can think, if someone sees me here, I have zero reason to be ashamed because I want people to think I'm identified with this. That's a beautiful feeling when we can be like Lady Wisdom, unashamed about the truth. And we're doing things that we say, if people who knew me or I'm around, I'm not ashamed if they come up to me and say, were you doing this? Yes, I was. Let me tell you about it. Because I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. And so we see this reality that Lady Wisdom is crying out because she's unashamed of her message. She's unashamed of the truth she's presenting. And she wants everybody to see her and hear her. Because in seeing her, we have life. We have life. And so we must be unashamed of the truth of God's word. We must be like Lady Wisdom, who wants everyone to hear and heed what we have to say. And then she goes on to say, so we see that she's crying out. Now we see what she's telling those who would hear her. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. She's crying out to those who are simple. And the Bible is a reality of void of understanding, without understanding, without discretion, without knowledge. A simpleton, as we would sometimes say, not a super familiar word in our culture, but we still sometimes have that phrase. This person's a simpleton. They're simple. And therefore, they're naive. And they're going through life in a reckless way. Because they're devoid of understanding. They're living life recklessly. And she says to those, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. She's saying, if you're simple, everything's prepared for you. If you turn here, you won't be simple anymore. If you hear what I have to say, your simplicity will go away, because the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 19. That it's the testimonies of the Lord, they're sure, and therefore they make wise the simple. The wonderful thing is, no one who has God as their Father, Christ as their Savior, and the Spirit indwelling them has any excuse for being simple, because we have a book. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. They make us wise. I love it. Maybe it's just an encouragement for me because of my age, but I love Psalm 119 and verse 98. If you turn there so we can see it, or you can just listen. Psalm 119, verse 98. I love this verse because it's such an encouragement that no matter where you are, if you have God's word, you have what you need. Psalm 119, verse 98. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. What he's saying here is not being prideful. It's more of a praise of God's word than him. But what he's saying is, people can be old and still simple. We have to be careful. We can sometimes think that age makes people wise. It doesn't necessarily make people wise. Someone can be old and still foolish. And someone can be young and still wise. That's what this text is saying. He's saying that because I have God's word, because I have the word of God, the ancients who don't have God's word, I'm smarter than them. And beloved, if you are in Christ and you have the word of God, you know more than Plato and anyone who was a Greek philosopher, because you have the truth. You have the truth. And therefore, you know more than all the ancients. And therefore, we should not look to them as if they're our standard, because we know more than them according to this text, because we have God's precepts. We have his word. We have his truth. And so it's a wonderful encouragement that God's people who have God's word can have more wisdom, understanding, and knowledge than even people who are older who don't have it, or older who have not applied it. Because maturity and wisdom is not based on age ultimately. It's based on a knowledge and application of God's word. Because ordinarily gray hairs do make wise. That's a principle from the Proverbs. Ordinarily, but you can have gray hairs and still be foolish. And so our bedrock in truth is the word of the living God. And so we look to that as our standard. And Lady Wisdom is calling people, which is Christ's wisdom, to, if you're simple, that if you turn into her, you will no longer be simple, because you will find in her the truth and the way to live that truth. And are we not, beloved, people are of the truth? That's what we're all about, the truth. Everything we are about is about the truth. Every single thing we do is about the truth, because did not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ say, as he was praying to God his Father, according to his human nature, as the God-man, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And we know that God is the God of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, who leads us into all truth. And so we are all about not being simple, but people of the truth. But there actually is something we need to be simple on. Let me turn you to 1 Corinthians 14. God does want us to be simple in a certain sense. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. There are some things we should be simple on. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. What he's saying here in this text, what the Holy Spirit is saying, is understanding. I don't want you to be children. I want you to be mature in your understanding. I want you to be mature in your understanding. In malice and sin, be babes. It's good to be green behind the ears as it relates to malice. It's not a bad thing. It's good to be green behind the ears as it relates to malice. That's what the text is saying. Be a child. Be simple. Be a babe as it relates to malice. This is the lie that some people will tell us, particularly those who choose to homeschool their children. Well, if you do that, they're not going to know how to handle the real world. They're not going to know how to handle the realities of living in a life that has sin in it. Or our Bible actually tells us you want them to be babes and living in the world. You want them to be babes and handling malice and knowing malice. You want that. It's not as if, you know what? And the wonderful thing, if they're genuinely converted and they truly have been rooted and grounded in God's word, they'll be just fine when those things come upon them. They'll be just fine. They don't need to know them. They don't know the intricate details. That is folly to say, unless our children know these things experientially, they're somehow going to be crippled. No. The word of God tells us that we want to be both older people and younger people. In Christ, we should be babes as it relates to malice and sin and rebellion. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to be kept from sin. Not a bad thing. We should be more thankful. Well, I don't know if more thankful is necessarily the best way to put it, but we should be just as thankful as someone who was saved at 5 and never experienced the world as someone who was saved at 75 and was saved out of the pit of the world. We should be just as thankful for both testimonies. Because God keeping people from sin is just as powerful as God saving them out of that sin, out of the bondage of it in a greater degree. What a blessing it is to have young people who are malice, or who are babes in relation to malice. And so we have to be careful when people say to us or about us, well, if you do that, your children are not going to know how to live in the real world. And we say, well, we don't want them to live according to this present evil age. We don't want them to live according to this present world. That's actually our point. That's why we're doing this. Because the real world that you're describing is a world of sin. And we don't want them to be wise according to those things. We want them to be babes as it relates to malice and sin. And so Lady Wisdom is calling out to these people, to anyone who would hear her, that if they would listen to her and turn in, they would no longer be simple as it relates to understanding, as we saw in that text. And understanding, be mature. And understanding, be mature. Don't be simple as it relates to understanding truth and how to live according to truth. Be mature in that. Be mature in that. And then she says, verse 4, as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. This is just a side comment, but it is very interesting for those who completely say alcohol is of the devil, for Lady Wisdom to actually use wine as an example of blessing by having wisdom. That would be somewhat confusing if she's saying, by coming into her, you get bread and wine is evil. That would be somewhat of a contradiction. How could wine be good and at the same time be something that she's saying, if you come to me, you'll drink bread and wine? Again, that's just a side comment. But we see that she's saying that whoever lacks understanding, let them come in and eat of her bread and of her wine. So come in, and obviously she's not like the other things. It's using them symbolically, but these are good things. And she's saying to them, if you come in, I have bread for you and I have wine for you that will satisfy you. I have bread and wine for you that will make you what you should be. Not simple anymore. Because you lack understanding, come eat of my bread and come drink of my wine. That's good. Isn't interesting? I don't think it's coincidence that the Lord's Supper is bread and wine. That every time we take the Lord's Supper, when we take literal bread and literal wine, and we eat the bread and we drink the wine, we are coming to Christ's wisdom and growing in Christ's wisdom. That we are actually saying that we come to the table and say, Christ, I need your wisdom. And therefore I come. I need to be more mature in my understanding. I need to be more growing. And so I come and I eat this bread and I drink of this wine because by doing it, I'm confessing that I need more wisdom. I need more wisdom from you. And therefore I eat and drink. And the world says, so what you're saying is by drinking a little bit of wine and eating a little bit of bread, that actually makes you a wiser person? Well, what is foolish to man is God's wisdom, or the foolishness of God is wisdom, and the weakness of God is strength. As it says in 1 Corinthians 1, that reality. That what seems foolish to the world is God's wisdom. It would seem foolish to the world to say by drinking bread or by eating bread and drinking wine, that grows you. But that's the very thing that God uses, because God wants us not to boast in men. So he wants to use very simple things to know that if this grows me, it's all of God. It's all of God. It's all of God. It's not because we came up with a clever trick. We didn't do something to warp speed something. We just simply said, by drinking this and eating this, we grow. We grow. But we don't merely grow by just the mere digesting of it, but by what it points to as we reflect week after week on Christ and his death for us and for our salvation. And so Lady Wisdom is telling these men and women, these children, that if they're simple, if they lack understanding, if they don't have it, eat of her bread, drink of her wine. Drink of the wine that she has mixed. Because by doing that, we get wisdom. And the greatest need for every person, on the sound of my voice, and everyone in the world, if I could put this on a loudspeaker, and everyone in the world could hear it, our greatest need is wisdom. Why? Because we need to be made wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And we need the wisdom to live a life that isn't a train wreck, but is actually living in a way that brings peace and joy because it's according to God's standards. We need the wisdom that says, I can't save myself. It's all of Christ. All of what he's done. It's only in him. I need that wisdom. I need to be, by the Spirit of God, made wise unto salvation. To understand that everything I have before God is in Christ. And I also need to be made wise for sanctification, or conversion and sanctification, by the word of God. So that I live not by my own precepts and my own desires, but according to God's precepts and desires for me. And you know why people's life is a train wreck? Because they do not hear and heed the word of God. It doesn't mean that God's people don't struggle and war and fight. But our lives are as peaceful and joy-filled insofar and no further as we know and believe and obey the word of God. It's as simple as that. The Christian life is not complex. It is difficult because it's a narrow path, but it's not complex. It's knowing what the word of God says, believing what the word of God says, and doing what the word of God says. So that we can eat and drink of the wine that Lady Wisdom, eat the bread and drink the wine that Lady Wisdom has mixed. And so we must hear what she has to say to us, because in her is life, because she is Christ's wisdom personified. And in Christ and his wisdom, we find life and salvation. And then my second point, which is forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding, which is exactly what the text says in verse 6. I find it best to just have phrases that are usually right from the text, because the text is inspired, not my clever ways of putting it. And so it says, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. It's interesting. The way it's put, we talked about this, or I preached on this when I was talking about 2 Timothy 3:16-17, that there's the put off and the put on. This is put off and put on. Forsake foolishness and go in the way of understanding. Forsake foolishness, go in the way of understanding. And so we are to forsake foolishness. We are to forsake a life and a lifestyle that's foolish. And foolishness in the book of Proverbs is not childish silliness. Foolishness is rebellion against Almighty God. Foolishness is saying, God, I know better than you. I know what's best for my life. I know your word says this. I know you created me. I know you made me. I know you sustained my life. I know you give me every good and perfect gift. But God, I know better on this situation. I actually know what's better for my life here. I actually know what would be better for me to do. I actually know what is more profitable for me. No, that's foolishness. And Lady Wisdom is saying, forsake that. Any thinking, any speaking, any living that is contrary to the word of God, forsake it. Let it go. No matter how long you've held on to it, if it's contrary to God's word, let it go. Put it in the trash. Burn it. Let it be. You don't need it anymore. Don't we have this vivid example of when they forsook foolishness? I love this example in the word of God. It's such an awesome example in the best sense of using that word. When they preach the gospel to them, and they have these magic books that are worth a mint. They're worth a lot of money. They have these magic books connected with their witchcraft stuff. And what do they do with the books? Say, you know what? We could raise a lot of money for the church if we sold these. I mean, we don't believe it, but I mean, they believe it, so we'll make money for the church. We'll have these and allow other people to be deceived by them, but we'll be fine because we're getting rid of them. No. Put them in a big pile and burn them. Because they said, this is foolishness. There's only one God and his name's Jehovah, and this stuff is foolishness. We're forsaking all this nonsense. We're getting rid of all of our witchcraft. We're getting rid of all of our magic arts. We're done with this nonsense. We're putting it in the fire and burning it because we don't want anything more to do with it. That is a vivid example of men and women and possibly boys and girls who forsook foolishness. And they said, God is more important than money. That's a vivid example that they were serving God and not mammon. They were saying, you know what? Even though we can make a lot of money from this, we are burning it because it is demonic. They forsook foolishness and they found life. We know in conversion, we forsake foolishness because what's our folly before we're converted? We trust that we are good enough to go to heaven. We trust that just because we are on this earth, God must love us and therefore we must be good enough. And we forsake all that nonsense, that demonic nonsense, to think that we could ever be good enough. And we forsake it and we put our trust wholly and completely in Christ alone. Because he alone can save us. We forsake the foolishness and we find life by trusting in Christ. Life, everlasting life. But we also, in our sanctification, more and more forsake foolishness by putting off sin and finding the joy of having life. Rob's favorite verse, John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. That as we forsake foolishness in our sanctification, we realize God has given us life and life to the full. God has given us, and when we put it to death, when we say no to it, we are actually saying, I want life. And this is why sin should grieve the saints, because what we're choosing is death instead of life when we sin. We don't sometimes think that way. That's why it's tempting. But when I choose to sin, and when you choose to sin, what we're saying in that moment is I choose death over life. I believe the lie. I believe the lie that this is actually going to bring me life. And then when I give into it and bite into the apple, the fig, the grapefruit of sin, I realize it lied to me. It was death. But when I choose to forsake it and put on what is good and holy and righteous, I realize this is what I was meant for, life and life to the full. I'm sure I've said this before, but this is so crucial that I get, and that you get, is when God tells us to forsake something, he's doing it because he wants us to have life, not because he's trying to take something away from us. That is life-changing if that gets into your bloodstream. If that really gets into your bones and marrow, that when I'm doing this, God is not taking something away. God is not saying, you know what, I want you to be miserable. I want you to just have a pity party. I want you to be as sad as possible because, you know, I just want you to sit in the corner and pout because I want this away. No, he's saying that is actually destroying you. And I want you to give that up because I want you to have life. And I'm not trying to take it because I don't want you to have pleasure, happiness, or satisfaction. But that momentary pleasure and satisfaction will actually destroy you. And it does not bring life. And so my son, my daughter, when I tell you that I need to take this and throw this into the fire, I'm doing it because I want something better for you. Beloved, you understand how life-changing that is if someone really understands that. If they really live by that truth, that is life-altering. Because they no longer obey merely out of duty. We should obey because it's our duty, but not merely out of duty. They then obey because they delight to know God and his ways because they're better. Wisdom personified as Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 3, her ways, or Christ's wisdom's ways, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. We must believe this, that forsaking foolishness is life, it's joy, it's peace. It's the happy way. It's the happy way. It's the happy way. And what a beautiful thing that when I forsake foolishness, and when you forsake foolishness, we are getting what is best. We're getting what is best. And we find life. And then the text says, and go in the way of understanding, which is the positive. So forsaking foolishness is saying, you know what, I'm not doing this because I know that's death. But instead, I should go in the way of understanding, because in the way of understanding is life and truth and peace. And so I want to go in the way of understanding. I want to walk in God's ways. I want to know his truth. I want to, whether it's how I live before God in public worship, or how I handle myself in my home, or how I handle myself at work, or as a homemaker in the home, or how I handle myself as a brother or sister, or as a child, or as a family, friend, or whatever it is, I want to go in the way of God's understanding. Submitting my mind and my heart, and you submitting your mind and your heart to God's truth. Going in the way of understanding. And it's interesting, in this text, a lot of it is about the mind, almost exclusively, understanding these type of things. Simplicity is, we're simple in our mind, therefore our behavior is simple. And so really the battle is for our mind. That's where it begins. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the word of God says. And so there's a battle in our mind to say, this is foolish, this is good, and therefore I want to go in the way of understanding. My thought, what you think affects how you live. What you believe affects what you do. And so our thinking should be shaped by God's ways as the way of understanding, and therefore I want to walk in that way. I want to walk in that truth. I want to go in the way of understanding because I believe that's best, and therefore I behave. But also realizing that his ways are best causes our hearts to flow with love to God. And so we must be, according to this text, those who are hearing Lady Wisdom, who is unashamed of what she has to say to us. Unashamed. And she wants us to have life because she's Christ's wisdom. And Christ came that we may have life and life abundantly. And that we may go in the way of understanding. That we may walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That we might do good and not evil. That we might live a life of holiness. And when we stumble, which we will, sadly but truly, we forsake that foolishness again and enter back into life in the narrow path that leads to life. We don't cripple ourselves, because that can also happen too. Is foolishness is when we get crippled by sin and we feel like, why even try anymore? But that's foolishness, and we forsake that we might continue to walk on the narrow path that leads to life. We don't want to be crippled by sin. We want to forsake sin and walk in the way of understanding. And for those who are without Christ, Lady Wisdom is calling out to you, because Lady Wisdom is Christ's wisdom. And your greatest need before God is to follow, is to come to Lady Wisdom, because you're coming to Christ's wisdom when you do. You're coming to Christ, who is the epitome of wisdom. And therefore you must. Right now, if you're without Christ, you're simple as it relates to God. You're naive. You're without understanding. And therefore, you need to, by God's grace, come to repent and put your trust in Christ, the one who alone can make you wise, the one who alone can bring you the bread and wine that is mixed, that you might find life in coming to him. Hope, life, salvation in the one who is wisdom incarnate, Jesus Christ. And then for the saints, let us continually be people who listen to Lady Wisdom as given to us in the word, Christ's wisdom, that we might forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. And let us model Lady Wisdom of being unashamed of the truth of God's word. Unashamed to be seen and known for living for Christ. I can feel it sometimes, more times than I would like, or I can feel a sense of shame over something about Christ. I can feel shame about handing someone something about Christ or being bold about Christ. But Lady Wisdom is an example for us to say, we have no reason. We have the truth. And so when we feel that way, we want to forsake foolishness and live. And I'm saying that to know, I know the struggle of feeling the pull of, I love Christ, but it's awkward to boldly live and share Christ. But we need to be reminded that to live and walk for Christ is the way of life. And we should be those who are unashamed of believing and obeying Christ, because we know in his ways are life and his ways are understanding. And so may God call me, and may God call you, to be people who are marked by forsaking foolishness and going in the way of understanding, because in that we have life and life to the full. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would apply these truths, that we might be wise people. In Jesus' name, amen.